Hey everybody, and welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And today we got brand new Kamen Rider right out the gate, Kamen Rider Ghost episode number one. We're on a new series now, Liam. What do you think about that shit?
I think it's great because we don't have to listen to you fucking up the number of the episode for at least two or three weeks.
Yeah, we'll see about that shit.
I was sitting here like, there's no way you can fuck up episode one, right?
Kamen Rider Ghost episode, oh god, which one? Oh.
Zero, three...
Type Tokujo? Oh no.
We'll get on that later if we don't forget like last week.
So, what happened in today's episode of Kamen Rider Ghost, the first episode, Liam?
A whole fucking lot more than you'd think. So, yeah. The episode opens with a guy summoning some Shocker Combat Men out of the ground, and then it cuts, and we meet this guy named Takeru Tenkuji, and he's supposed to be training in the basement of a monastery to become a ghost hunter, but he's just a lazy asshole who wants to learn about history's greatest heroes. His dad was a ghost hunter, his dad's dead, and his dad gave him a handguard from one of the swords that Musashi had, and he wears it around
his necklace. Musashi Miyamoto used it.
Which is cool as hell, I think.
Yeah.
But he's a lazy asshole, just like the rest of us in a way.
He's kind of a bitch, too.
He's a bit of a bitch. I like him. And he has a childhood friend who is apparently way older than him called Akari, and he has like a boss sort of mentor figure named Onari, who's like a bald monk.
Hyperactive bald monk.
And they sort of sit on the opposite ends of the spectrum. You have Onari, who very, very staunchly believes in ghosts and that they do everything. And then you have Akari, who is the skeptic, who does not believe in ghosts, at least not until the end of the episode, I guess.
But my favorite character.
Yay, but we'll get to that later. So his dad's dead, he wears the Musashi sword guard. One day some ghosts run around town, they start wrecking shit, they start murdering people, cutting their cars in half, and cutting their bikes in half, and causing all sorts of general...
Kind of a high death toll, suddenly, in that bit as well, where it's like, oh, I cut a car in half, ha ha ha, I'm such a prankster. Oh, I throw 100 fucking people into an exploding, ruinous death, I'm such a prankster.
There were children on that theme park.
Yeah!
Ride. What the fuck? I guess it's kind of the same as Drive. When you see the global freeze, you see people die.
Yeah.
In the same sort of, it's like the same sort of, like, very obviously they died, but you don't quite see it kind of way that Ghost handles it.
That amusement park ride being thrown through the air was this series' global freeze.
Yeah, it's the, oh my god, right at the beginning that you'll probably never see again, but still, jeez. Mm. So ghosts start wrecking shit, and Takeru in the mail gets an icon from his dad, who's dead, and it's like, oh, it was sent, you know, 10 years ago before his dad died, but it just got here now, so I guess that's snail mail for you. Zing!
You're off the show.
Oh, it was a risk worth taking.
Finish up your description and get the fuck out.
Do I at least get severance?
You weren't getting paid to begin with!
Oh! I'll take half the fans as my severance.
Will you enjoy those three fans?
So Takeru gets the icon in the mail, and these ghosts come, and they're like, we're gonna take the icon from you, Takeru, and they murder him. They cut him down in cold blood with a sword. And he dies, and his soul goes inside of the empty icon that he was carrying. And so he's in there, and it's all watery, and it's like a lush forest, and he meets an old man. And the old man explains to him a bunch of shit about how he's gotta collect 15 icons of amazing heroes, or else you're gonna... And then you can wish yourself back to life if you do it.
And Takeru says, it's a win-win situation, Takeru.
Yeah, and Takeru says, okay, I'll do it. And so the guy gives him the ghost driver. He says, get out there, kid. And he comes back as a ghost and he kicks one of the ghost's asses.
Well, we're introduced to Urisen first.
His little...
The wisecracking little sidekick.
Sassy little ghost Urisen. We already saw Urisen last week, and I like him still. He's still, well, he, she, whoever.
It. Actually. It. The sage calls it It.
It. Well, there's our answer. It is still a little sassy motherfucker, and I like him. It.
I do, too. That's going to be tough to get used to.
I'm going
to
be tripping up over that every single week.
Look forward to it.
Oh, God. So Ghost swims back to the real world. He turns into Kamen Rider. There's a pretty neat transformation scene, and it's suddenly daytime. And then he murders one of the ghosts really bad. And then... The other one, like, runs off to a beach with a bunch of the Shocker Combat Men Ganma.
Well, before that, we get a sweet-ass fucking motorcycle chase
scene.
Oh,
yeah, there's a bit where he, like, when he's chasing him to the beach, he transforms on a motorcycle, and it's just a normal motorcycle, but when he transforms, it turns into the unicorn cycle.
It turns into a horsey-mobile.
Yeah, and he and the ghost have a little fight, and no one can see them, so, like, their tables and chairs are just getting cut in half and shit, and they're like, what the hell's going on? Which is pretty cool.
They should know. They should know what's happening. Anytime tables and chairs get fucked up, there's, a Kamen Rider is responsible.
There's a Kamen Rider involved somehow. So they get to the beach, and using the power of the Musashi Sword Guard thing, Ghost, he gets a new form already. End of the first episode, and he turns all red, and he turns into Musashi form, and he murders the other guy with two swords. He murders the second evil Ganma ghost with two swords instead of just one.
He has more. He has double swords.
Yeah, he
you can't beat that.
He pulls the sword into two, and when you have two swords, it's twice as strong, so there's nothing.
That's just basic math.
Yeah, there's nothing that the other ghost can do. So he wins, and then he comes back, and he realizes there's a problem. He's still dead. And he keeps phasing in and out of existence, and he can't, like, his friends can't see him.
And his skeptic friend, of course, refuses to believe that ghosts exist, even though she's hanging out with a ghost.
He's phasing in and out, and he keeps disappearing, and he's like, yo, I'm a ghost. And his friend's like, there must be a scientific explanation for this. Despite the fact that I saw him die and then disappear. And now he's flying around and phasing in and out of existence. No, there's no way. This must be...
Science will figure that shit out.
This
don't
must
worry.
Be solar winds and weather balloons and...
It's a fucking gas pocket over a swamp, is what it is.
The sage also moves into Takeru's basement and tells him also, hey, by the way, those 15 souls you gotta collect, you gotta do them in 99 days, or else you're done forever. You go to hell, I guess.
Takeru whines like a little bitch for a second, as we all would.
Yes.
And he's like, oh my god, I only have 99 days left. And the sage is like, 99 days? This day's already over. You only have 98.
And he's like, no!
And then he does finger guns at him.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
That was a bit of a weird scene, yeah. And despite the fact that he already has 1 out of 15, on day 1, he seems to think that this is a useless venture and that he's never going to get the other 15. Or the other 14, and he...
He is way ahead of the curve. He's got 98 days left.
If he continues at this pace, he'll be done in 2 weeks. Ghost's gonna be a short series.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. So, Jeff, what did you think of the premiere of Kamen Rider Ghost?
My hopes were up and down with this series. As I saw stuff come out, like, it came up when I saw the suit. It went down when I saw the motorcycle turn into an iguana.
I think that's next episode we get to see that.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been up and down, and so my expectations weren't really super high, but they weren't rock bottom either. And I was pleasantly surprised with this. There was a lot to enjoy in this opening episode. A lot of characterization that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm really looking forward to the episode when Akari...
Yeah, Akari, his friend.
When Akari stops fucking being like, no, ghosts aren't real. Please save me from these ghosts.
I, too, am looking forward to episode 37.
Fuck.
I don't know. I don't know where Akari's gonna go.
I'm excited to see Onari overreact to everything for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Takeru develop a personality that stays the same for longer than a scene.
Well, I didn't think he was super inconsistent in this episode.
I feel like he was kind of inconsistent. He went from being like a lazy guy to a whiny guy to a wistful guy to a big old bitch.
I think, okay, I can believe a lazy guy being whiny and wistful. He doesn't like, he whines because he doesn't want to work. He's wistful because he wants to be like his heroes. But he spends all day daydreaming about it, because he's lazy, right? I think that makes sense.
Maybe I just see too much of myself in that.
What I didn't really like about Takeru, it was just one little thing. The second time he transforms, he does it like he's already done it a trillion times at that point.
Oh, yeah.
When he's riding his bike, and he does it while riding his bike, and it's like, he just does it so robotically, and like he already fucking is just totally fine with what's happening.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, during the first fight against the two Ganma in the woods, he is comically bad at being a Kamen Rider. And I love that.
He gets good at it really fast, is the thing.
Yeah, that's a problem, but...
I think
Think about how many Kamen Riders transform and they're just, like, already badasses.
Yeah. And sometimes...
After their first transformation. And Takeru was not.
Yeah, and sometimes you have an explanation for them being good. Like, Tendo trained his entire life. But, like, Takeru is bad, and then in the second scene, he's good. And I think it's a bit of a...
I will take up for the show a bit.
Okay.
He's comically bad in the first scene.
Mm.
Because he's using Ore Soul.
Okay.
And he's good in the second scene because he's using Musashi Soul.
Mmm.
He's using Musashi's skills and abilities during that fight is why he's not comically bad.
Okay.
So I'm really hoping that next episode when he transforms into Ore Soul, he is comically bad again.
I don't think that's going to be the case, but that would be nice. I would like...
probably not.
Kamen Rider Drive had the same thing, Gaim had kind of the same thing, where, like, Kamen Riders master their abilities really fast. They go from totally normal person to full-fledged rider in one episode. I think I'd like it if you could do something a little more gradual, like, over the course of maybe the first 10 or so episodes is them, like, learning what's going on.
I don't think a series has really done that for an extended period of time. A lot of series have done the exact opposite. Like, in Agito, Shoichi transforms, and it's like he's just a completely different fucking person when he's transformed.
Yeah.
He's a big goofball idiot, and then he transforms, and he is serious. He is to the point. He's amazing as a fighter, and then he turns back into a dude who talks about smooth poops and... how big his plants can grow.
Oh, after that line about poops and you started saying how big his, I was expecting that to go in a different direction.
He's not that.
Thank God I was wrong.
So, here, I'm hoping that they stretch out his learning to be a rider a little bit, but I don't think this is really the series that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think, I was going to say, my gripes with this episode is I think a lot of things should be stretched out. Like, a lot of the... I can't believe I'm actually saying this about a Kamen Rider. They should stretch out plot points more. But, like,
yeah.
A lot of this episode felt like a huge fucking info dump. This is, like, my plot summary for this episode when I was writing it down was unusually long because it's, like, people keep giving them little monologues about, oh, Ghost, this is how things are. This is what you gotta do. This is how you gotta do it. And it's, like, it would be nice if it wasn't just one big exposition paragraph and it was, like, spread out a little more, even over the course of one episode somehow, or one or two. Like, not that much. It just felt...
This is where the toy commercial thing comes
in.
Yeah. If they just spread it out, like, kids aren't gonna know what the shit is that he's using in this episode, so they're not gonna run to their local Walmart and buy all the icons and all the toys.
Yeah, you have to have the scene with Yurusen when he gives the little instructional video on how to play with the Ghost Driver.
Yeah, open it up. Make the eyes make contact.
And have the sword make eye contact. Fuck off. I get it, though. Like, I get that you have to take that into account, but in a perfect world, I think things would be a little more, like, plot details like that would be a little more interspersed.
A side note, do you think they're gonna have, like, a little Urisen puppet that you can buy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Bandai.
I kinda want that.
This is Bandai we're talking about. Of
course. You know it's going to be like a fucking Tamagi web exclusive.
No.
$700.
I bet I wouldn't mind like a little candy toy Urisen on a little stand. On my nightstand. That would be nice.
That'd be cute.
Little like 2-inch figure.
I like Urisen. I like useless sidekicks that are still dickholes about it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite kind of dumb little sidekick.
I thought I would be annoyed by Urisen, but it grew on me pretty quick. So... That's a point in the episode's favor.
It sounds like you didn't enjoy this episode all that much, Liam.
I was just going to say, the action in this episode was very good. I liked it a lot. I really like the look of the, like, all the effects when he transforms, and you have the flying hoodies, and when he first transforms into Self-Soul, and, like, the hoodie flies on him and he gets up, it's the coolest fucking thing. Like,
yeah.
The design really hits you full force when you see it the way they intend you to see it. It looks so good with the hoodie, and it's
it is such a slick design, and I'm just so kind of, like, bummed that he's gonna take his hood off after he transforms every single time.
Yeah. Musashi, he kept the hood on for Musashi, didn't he?
He has to keep the hood on for the other forms, because they have shit sticking out of them.
Yeah, there's the top knot and stuff, so we can look forward
to that.
Yeah,
the top knot that's a katana.
Yeah, the Musashi suit is also very good. It looks great in motion. I can't believe... And the Edison form looks pretty good, too, from what we've seen. Like, we're getting a pretty good... pretty good slew of forms here right from the start. None of them are terrible, so...
Do you think he's going to have 15 forms?
I think... it seems like some of them are going to go to Spectre, probably.
I think... this is wild speculation. Okay. I'm going to throw this out right now.
Okay.
I think he's going to get 14 icons, and then he's going to be panicking on the 99th day or whatever, like after he defeats the villain, and it turns out that the last hero is his self soul.
Yeah, he became a hero over the course of the show. I was thinking the same thing when I was watching it, because they conspicuously don't count self soul as one of the 15, despite it being his main form.
And in the final episode, all the little kids watching will be like, I can be a hero just like Takeru!
Anyone can be a hero if you have 50 episodes and you have an adventure drop right into your lap in the form of a little piece of mail.
You just gotta get murdered first.
Yeah, it's a small price to pay.
Would you be murdered to be a Kamen Rider, Liam?
Because
I will kill you right now.
Bring it, fucker. Can't do shit.
You want to fucking die? Don't you dare talk to me like that in my own home.
In your home. Oh, fuck off. Do you like the side characters in this as much as you like the ones in Drive? At least first impressions. Akari, first impressions, Onari, the Sage. What do you think?
First impressions comparing both of them from like the first time I saw them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the side characters in Drive didn't really grab me that much to begin with. They were just sort of there. We didn't really get a good look into their personalities until they started getting their own episodes.
Yeah, it's true. And I like it's a tighter cast this time around. It's smaller, which I appreciate a lot.
And I like most of the characters. And the Akari?
Yeah, Akari.
I'm going to remember her name eventually.
Akari
and Onari.
Yeah.
It's tough. But Akari, I don't hate her character or anything. I just tend to dislike characters who are skeptics in a series where they're absolutely surrounded by proof that they're wrong.
Well, maybe in the next episode she'll start to... Oh, who am I kidding? But, like...
That is the basic tenet of her character. They can't just switch that right after introducing her.
Yeah, that's true. There's gonna be some real plot convenience. Like, she's gonna be conveniently wearing her blindfold whenever the ghosts are.
I don't know about that, because she is outright shown proof that she's incorrect in this episode.
That's true.
And she thoroughly denies it. Let's play pretend.
What if this is a world where there is also super science at some point? Like, maybe, maybe Spectre's got some super science going on, right?
Yeah.
And she thinks maybe it's, like, a cloaking device or, like, some sort of hover projectors or something that's causing all this ghost shit.
See, Takeru's dad's laboratory looks like a super science laboratory.
Yeah, exactly.
So I could follow that. If that happened, that would give me a little bit more leeway with this character.
Yeah. So... maybe that'll be it. We're all sitting around crossing our fingers, hoping that Akari isn't fucking terrible in the end. But she's...
You know...
What?
Speaking of other characters, I'm gonna switch the subject. There was one thing in this episode that was really scary.
Okay.
It wasn't the ghosts either. It was when the villain in the dark hat opened his mouth and showed his teeth.
It's Kamen Rider Jam! She's back! After a whole year.
I knew you were going to make that fucking joke. God. Is he wearing, like, fucking Billy teeth? Like, the hillbilly redneck fake teeth? Is that what that is?
See, I don't know. I thought Japanese people thought fucked up teeth was cute.
What?
It's why... Well, why did Jam have fucked up teeth, then?
I think you should probably cut this part out.
Maybe Japanese people think it's evil to have... Maybe?
Fucking hell, I don't know. I think the actors just have bad teeth.
They just happen to have bad teeth? What is that? How do you think that makes children feel when they're born with bad teeth?
I was born with bad teeth. I had to get braces for that shit. Pony up the money, Japan!
Shit. I feel so sorry for you.
I know. I could have turned out to be a villain. I dodged that bullet.
If those canines had stuck out any further...
What the fuck are you saying to me?
At the very end of the episode, the guy that summons the Shocker Combatman, he meets up with this much younger guy who is obviously, like, a more central villain because he's much prettier. And he smiles this disgusting fucking smile, and his teeth are just fucking shooting out in every which direction.
It really looks like the fake, like, redneck teeth that they sell at novelty stores. Maybe, so it makes me think that that's actually what they
maybe
are.
Maybe they are fake. He's gotta have fucked up teeth. He's the villain. His teeth have got, his chompers have gotta be just some mutant shit.
Today we learned something new about Japan through Liam's focus, anyway. If we had any hope of having Japanese fans, you have just alienated that whole audience.
Dashed it all away. I don't give a shit.
Here's something you didn't know about Liam. He's a racist.
Yeah, that's a little known fact about me.
God.
I'm joking.
He's not.
I swear.
Did the Ganma seem like their designs were, like, ridiculously similar to you?
I didn't really
like,
get...
Like, they had the same exact color scheme.
Yeah, they had the
and
same...
And most of their body was the same.
They had the same color scheme, but I didn't get the vibe that they looked terribly similar beyond that.
Like, they had different heads and different, like, chests,
like,
and stuff, but everything else was the same.
Really? Were their legs and stuff the same? I gotta check.
Everybody wait 30 seconds while Liam
just
checks this.
Bear with me.
This will all be cut out.
They look kinda similar, actually, now that I'm looking at them. They do have... It's their legs. They both wear, like, tights.
Yeah.
And similar-looking boots.
Speaking of tights, Takeru is wearing tights.
Is he?
I guess they're jeans or something, but
very tight jeans.
He has tiny little, like, chicken legs, look like tights.
They're like... Yeah, they're very, very tight jeans. They're like jeggings. He's walking the line there.
Who knew that jeggings were so popular amongst the young male set in Japan?
Who knew? Yeah, but you're right. They do look, the Ganma, like, from the waist down, they look pretty similar. That might just be those two, because they're not exactly the same. It might just be a design coincidence between them.
Yeah, I didn't really see what the Ganma in the next episode looks like. I wasn't paying all that much attention.
Yeah, no, I was asleep through most of this episode, too, so... I've been bluffing pretty good this whole time, haven't I?
You remembered names and shit? What the hell?
I just went on the wiki. Fuck it.
Yeah, that'll tell you correct names.
Oh yeah, the wiki, nothing is ever wrong on the Kamen Rider wiki. I don't know about the Ganma. I hope you're wrong. I hope they don't all wear the same tights and the very similar looking boots.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes monsters in Rider have very similar motifs.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, all the monsters in Fize are white. I thought that was stylistically a cool choice. I don't think having all of them look like the ones in the Ganma in this episode is a great idea, though. Because I didn't think they were particularly cool looking.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Especially the sword arm. That looked really lame.
Yeah.
Maybe they spent all the suit budget on ghost suits.
I guess, because they're so fucking slick.
God, they're awesome.
They're so good. And we got a night scene in this week's episode.
Sorta.
A very brief night scene.
Could you imagine me sitting in front of my computer, and it becomes night, and Takeru standing there? I was fucking hype. I was like, oh shit! Night scene! It's gonna happen! And then it becomes day again.
He transforms, and it's 6 hours pass. The sun is high in the sky.
I audibly said, fuck!
It's never gonna happen. The days of old Heisei are over. No more night scenes.
There are a lot of things about old Heisei that I'm glad are gone.
Yes,
I'll put that out there.
Definitely.
But I want some more night scenes. I will say this. This episode has some pretty neat camera work in it.
Yeah.
There's, especially, like, because of the locales they're using, like, forest trails and, like, opening meadows and stuff, it's really cool looking.
I do like, this Kamen Rider it's got much more of a natural feel as opposed to Drive, which was all tech. This one's all, like, temples and forests and beaches and a lot of nature-y locations. It's a nice change of pace, I think.
And I like Takeru. I make fun of him for being a bitch, but I would be too in a situation. I'm not going to pretend.
If you were dead, you'd be freaking out and whining. Yeah.
If somebody told me I couldn't die again, though, I'd be pretty excited about that.
I like the bit where he's fighting the Ganma and he gets hurt and he's like, I thought you said I couldn't die. And Urasen's like, well, you can die and you'll come back, but that doesn't mean it won't be incredibly painful.
And then Urasen goes, because it's a fucking asshole. And I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
How many people do you think absolutely fucking hate Urasen already?
I'd be willing to bet it's a 50-50 split.
I would too.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, this fucking Ocarina of Time Navi bullshit.
Oh no. It's Fi from Skyward Sword all over again. I don't think so. I think Urasen is better than Fi. Not that that's saying much, but I really like Urasen.
As long as Urasen doesn't float out every 5 fucking seconds to explain something to Takeru, it'll be better. Takeru, you can't get hit by a sword. It will do damage to you.
Takeru, there's an 85% chance that that Ganma is going to attack you.
Fucking hate that game.
So, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up. Thumbs I'm looking up. Forward to where this series goes. I really am.
Yeah, I say tentative thumbs up. I'm, like, first episodes in Rider always tend to be plot dumps. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it still annoys me, but I just, it's gotta be that way. I know how Toei works. But I am interested to see where it goes, so I give it a tentative thumbs up. This episode itself could have been better, but I look forward to the future.
Sometimes in a Rider series, the first episode will set up all this stuff, all these characters, and then over the course of the next 2 or 3 episodes, their characters almost completely change.
Yeah.
It's like they hadn't really decided what these characters were going to be like yet. So, I'm tentative on the series, because it's the first episode. Deciding you love a series in the first episode is pretty stupid.
Yeah, well, you can't tell anything about it from here. But we'll, at least for this episode, it was okay.
I'm excited, I thought it was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you can nitpick the shit out of anything.
Yeah, I'll be harder on it than you.
This has some nits to be picked. Yes. And I pointed out a few myself. But... overall, I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, let's
see more of those fucking suits. Oh, good.
Ooh. Can we just have, like, a new suit every episode? Just have 50 icons? They got the budget for that, right?
Oh, yeah. This is not the series that had 5 different versions of the same 2 suits.
Cough, 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 cough. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from.
So thumbs up.
It was good.
It was good. Liam, why don't you tell us about what's happening in the world of Kamen Rider?
Oh boy, there's a whole lot happening this week, actually.
Doubt it!
No, actually, I got quite a bit of news. So the next Movie Wars movie, Drive X Ghost, we got some news about it. First of all...
Is this a shipping thing?
No, they're called Kamen Rider... Fuck you!
Who's the top?
Ghost, I guess, because he can fly.
Oh, fuck. God, you were, like, prepared. That was good.
Well, it took me a couple seconds, but I had it out.
Well, when you edit it, it'll happen immediately.
Yeah,
so you were prepared.
They'll think I snapped it out real quick and was cool. The Drive and Ghost movie is not going to be divided up into 3 parts. It's not going to be...
What?
It's not going to be Drive part, Ghost part, crossover part. It's all crossover all the time, baby.
Damn, that's way better.
I'm way excited.
Yeah.
Like, to have one coherent story for the whole time, I'm pretty excited for that, actually. I think that's gonna be good.
The crossover part in crossover movies is always a load of shit, because the characters show up, say 5 lines to each other, do a double rider kick, and then the movie's over.
Yeah, they have 2 coherent parts right after the other, and then there's a giant clusterfuck right at the end, and that's the end of the movie. And sometimes it's better than others. Drive X Gaim wasn't bad.
I was just about to point that out. The Drive X Gaim clusterfuck at the end was way more enjoyable than anything else in the movie.
There was a Death Star trench run. That was pretty cool.
A Death Star trench run in a big fucking plastic car.
In a souped-up Trans Am. It was fucked up. It was really good. But, like, I think I prefer a series that's all crossover and no clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Or maybe just constant 90-minute clusterfuck. That'd be fine as well.
That's how you get Heisei versus Showa.
Always back to Heisei versus Showa.
That's like the fucking benchmark of how bad things can get.
Creeping horror. It's also maybe going to have a new rider based on set. There's a set photograph, and you can like maybe see what looks like maybe a rider suit behind a couple guys carrying coffees and shit.
Liam, are you telling me that a Kamen Rider crossover movie is going to have a new Kamen Rider in it?
Now, hang on. This is unsubstantiated evidence, so let's slow down here.
Because that's too out there. That's never happened before.
Yeah, I don't know. But we got a picture of him, maybe.
It's maybe.
Like, you can't tell anything from him, but...
What does this say about us as fans that we're like, oh, look behind that guy who's carrying coffee! Holy shit, that is maybe a Kamen Rider!
look under beneath, between the legs of all those interns. You can see...
Look, over there in the corner, it's a fucking top hat! That could be Lupin!
That's, like, it's so vague. Like, that's what the actual article says. It says, maybe we'll have a new rider, and then a little question mark in brackets. Like, maybe that's a rider? It's a complete mystery.
Please be excited.
Please be excited. Watch our movie, as it were. Kamen Rider Drive episode of Mach, a book all about Mach, is coming out soon.
So if you remember us saying, wouldn't it be awesome if Mach got his own special, like Chaser, that shit is probably not going to happen.
There's Toei's answer. You guys want Mach to have his own story? Here's this novel.
Here's a book. I hope you fucking choke.
Toei, kids don't read. It's not cool anymore.
Do the pictures in the book move?
I ain't never read none of those Kamen Rider books. Or any books, for that matter.
Fuck.
Have I talked about the Ryuki novelization on this podcast?
Yeah, I don't know if you've mentioned it on the podcast, but you told me all about it.
Oh boy. If you haven't seen the Ryuki novelization, or at least found out like the plot details from it, you should go and research that. It's totally worth it. It's the worst thing you'll ever read in your life. There's gonna be Kuga Blu-rays out soon.
Hell yeah.
So
we get some high quality Raws rolling in here.
If any subbers or any like Bunny Hat Raws or whatever are willing to pay $637 for the fucking box set,
take a hit for the team.
If you would be willing to take out a second mortgage on your home to pay the $100,000 for the Blu-ray box set,
what kind of home is $600 mortgage?
No, I mean
take out a mortgage on your shanty.
It's not literally $600. I don't know what the actual price is, but Blu-ray box sets, like if the 90s movies are any indication, if the Kamen Rider 1 box set is any indication, this shit is going to come out to be like $500 for the whole series.
How fucked up is it that you said $600 and I just believed you? That's how much these Blu-ray box sets cost.
Kamen Rider 1 was like, it was divided into four parts, and the first part was something like $150, so
yeah.
It's fucked up, man. That's crazy.
Who is this aimed at? Like, is this aimed at, like, rich collectors?
I guess, because, like, no kids are going to be buying this, and kids' parents. Like, kids don't give a shit about watching it in HD or whatever.
Kids don't give a shit about watching Kamen Rider 1, anyway.
Yeah, that's for Dutch, I'm sure. They might like Kuga, though, right? Eh?
Nah.
Yeah.
Have you met anybody under the age of, like, 18? They think shit from, like, 5 years ago is old.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Fuck everybody who's younger than me.
What are you, just constantly firing it off today?
Yeah, I hate the world.
Oh.
I am a bitter old man.
We got some news about Ghost today.
Did we?
They teased a bunch of new forms. Just silhouettes, you can't see shit. But they teased...
Do they, like, coincide with the list of forms we've seen before?
There's no way to know. It's just like a gray blob.
So use your fucking imagination. What are you? Some type of adult?
There's a gray blob, and there's a brown blob, and there's like a blue blob, and...
This doesn't tell me anything. What are the forms, Liam? Tell us.
They don't have names. They just said,
I want you all to pay attention right here. Liam Soji is keeping these forms to himself. He will not tell any of us.
John Toei mailed them to my address. And he said, please don't tell anybody about this or they'll steal it just like I did from you.
John Toei has let the world know that Liam is his favorite Rider Club radio host.
Also, Kamen Rider Ghost is going to have a small DVD series, and the first one is going to be apparently about Urusen and the Ghost Driver. I don't know like what exactly the plot is going to be. They just say
I have no idea.
It's going to be about those two things.
How do you have a children's action show starring a puppet?
It's just going to be a little DVD presento, I imagine, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Toei is getting kind of, like, brash with all these, like, side stories and spinoffs and...
What, with, like, type SCU and Gaim Gaiden and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like maybe things are going pretty well for them if they're, like, making more content like this. Because it's been a while since they made so much content extra.
Yeah. I mean, the toy sales are dwindling, but there are other sources of income, I suppose.
It could be that these DVDs, the stuff that they're selling, is another way to bring in income.
Yeah, that must be why they're $7 quadrillion.
Look, we could sell these DVDs one for $12 each, but why don't we sell them one for $9,000 each? We'll reach our goal way faster.
And by golly, it worked. Holy shit.
What other news do we got, buddy?
Remember when I was talking a few weeks ago about the CSM Gattack Zector they announced?
I do.
They released a video, Bandai released a video, of Kagami's actor playing with it.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, he came back, he gave it a little demo. You can still recognize it. He's got like a beard, he's got a lot of facial hair, but he's still definitely Kagami. He still looks a lot like Kagami. And he, like, puts the belt on, and he plays around with the toy, and the whole time he's, like, laughing and be like, wow, it's just like the prop. Wow, it's so cool. So, just like the old days. And he plays with the Hyper Zector, and...
I want it.
It's a very cute little video. It's the same with, they got Masahiro Inoue to play with the CSM Deca Driver. It's the same sort of thing when that came out. They get the actor to demo it.
It must have been, like, a million times easier to get Inoue to do it, though. They just had to, like, walk next door to where they were filming Garo and be like, hey, come over here.
Inoue called them. He was like, I hear you guys are putting a toy out.
I need work real bad.
They had to go down to the broom closet where he lives, the toy office's broom closet.
Hey, we got this toy commercial. By the way, somebody threw up in the kitchen.
Oh, we're
I'm
so sorry.
I'm sorry, Noe. We actually really like
we're
you.
We're so sorry. I love you. He's one of my favorite actors in Toku.
He is great.
That's why.
As much as I hate his series, he's great.
That's why he's so fun to rip into. He's a nice guy. He can do a really cool jump kick. I saw
him. Yeah, he's really good at getting off of a motorcycle the incorrect way.
What do you mean?
He, like, throws his leg up over the handlebars.
Oh, yeah.
To get off the motorcycle.
It's cool looking, though.
It's sexy.
It's sexy. Just like everything else in Kamen Rider. I heard a guy from Japan, somebody asked him about Kamen Rider, and they said, they were talking online, it was a Japanese guy and an American guy, and they were talking on, like, a forum board, and the American guy asked him, he's like, yo, do you like Kamen Rider? Do you watch Kamen Rider? And the guy said, the only adults in Japan who watch Kamen Rider are young mothers.
Well, the dudes are sexy.
The dudes are very sexy. This guy, I guess that's the reason. You get that extra demographic in.
Well, that's new information from Rider Club Radio, if you didn't know. Young mothers love to stay home, lock themselves in alone in their room, and watch Kamen Rider.
The thing is, no, they probably watch it with their kids. I had heard about that, about Kuga and Agito and Ryuki, like early Heisei. I knew it was really popular with young women. I had no idea it was still very popular with young mothers. I guess it is. I guess it makes sense. I mean, the guys haven't gotten uglier. That's
for
damn sure.
They're getting prettier.
They're just getting prettier.
Eventually, they're just going to have, like, I don't even know where you can go from here. How much prettier can you get?
I think we've reached a singularity point of pretty. They get less and less manly and more pretty as time goes on.
Maybe we've just discovered the secret mathematical formula behind Kamen Rider and its popularity.
It's before they were manly and pretty, and now they're just pretty.
That's just been the way Japan has gone in general with how, like, attractive, like, how people see male attractiveness.
Yeah, they have different ideas about it over there.
Hiroshi Fujioka was fucking pissed about that when he was at that opening.
Yeah, that he was complaining about, oh, men in Japan these days are such wimps.
They're wimps and they don't want to impregnate women anymore.
Ah, All they
back in my day, we spread our seed everywhere.
All they want to do is watch Kamen Rider. Oh.
Oh my god, what have I done? Any more news, buddy?
No, but this week, or last week, Type SCU2 came out. Remember that?
Yeah, I've totally seen that.
Yeah, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Mach did something important. No, that wouldn't happen. It was when Kiriko did something that was relevant to the plot. God, you fucking idiot. That's something that would happen. My favorite was when he did a Rider kick.
Yeah. Alright. You nailed it. Good job.
Fuck. Whew.
Type.
I did it, everybody!
Kamen Rider Drive Secret Mission Type SCU2 came out last week, and I watched it last week. And it was so unremarkable.
I watched it? What are you trying to say? I watched it?
Yeah, keep that up, Jeff. Keep it up. Let's see how long you can go. I watched it last week, and it ended up being so unremarkable. Like, I had it written down on my little, like, docket of shit to talk about. I forgot about it mid-recording. I just forgot to say anything about it. I forgot to even mention it.
As you might have gathered through the hints that I've dropped, the subtle hints... I've actually not seen it. It didn't really excite me.
Well,
it didn't make me really want to watch it.
You're not missing much. I'll give a quick little overview. In the first episode of Type SCU, it starts with a really cool premise. There's a scientist that's been killed. And
always awesome.
Two people confess. There's a girl who says, oh, I mixed bad like shit into his medicine, into his heart medication, and it killed him. And she says, oh, I'm so sorry, I did it, it was me. Because he was... stealing my research, I think. And then there was this thief from... He was the bad guy from that other DVD present. Who, like, took a hostage. I think he was part of Neo Shade.
Oh, yeah, that fucker.
The guy,
I remember
his
him.
Daughter appeared in the series. I don't remember his fucking name.
I don't remember his name either, but everybody remembers him.
He came out and said that he tampered with one of the professor's inventions so that when he put it on, it killed him. So they both come out and they both... say they killed him, and I thought that was really cool. That's like a very Sherlock Holmes-y kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, oh, he's gotta figure out, like, who the real killer is. And in this episode, they find out that right away, at the very beginning of the episode, neither of them are telling the truth. There's no traces of any poison, and the turning the device up, tampering with the device, wouldn't have killed him. And then it turns out that Brain is, like, involved. Brain has taken over the body of somebody, like a cop guy. And then Q threatens to kill himself with a box cutter and says that he did it. And then the episode's over. It's like 10 minutes long.
Holy shit, really?
But Q gets, like, Tamari comes back from investigating. And he gets back into the SCU and Q is in the corner of the room holding a box cutter to his fucking jugular. And telling everyone to stay back or else he's gonna kill himself and that he killed the doctor.
And then it ends.
And then it ends. This, what you gotta wait for part 3?
I don't even know what to fucking say to that.
I didn't know what to say to it either, and I watched the damn thing. I was like, well, that was a fucked up...
Did he transform at any point during this?
I don't think so. I don't remember him.
Oh my god. Even saying that there was a Rider kick, I thought that was like the most safe bet I could possibly throw down.
Nope. Unless I'm wrong... Like I said, it's pretty forgettable.
Liam being wrong about something?
Yeah, oh god. Jesus.
That's crazy.
The only thing that you'll remember, that I will remember from this for the rest of my fucking life, is Q threatening to kill himself with a box cutter. That's all. If he was, like, holding a gun to his own head or something, that would have been slightly less remarkable, but he's holding this little box cutter with a little tiny blade, and he's like, I'll do it! I'm fucking crazy. Don't come closer.
Well, I'm sad I missed that.
Yeah, well, you can check it out. I'll make a GIF for you.
Thanks,
and you'll
buddy.
Get the whole experience.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Okay, we got some emails.
Oh, boy.
This time with a Z, because they're so radical.
Lay them on me.
Our first one is from Matt. Matt says, hey, guys, still a nifty podcast.
Still.
So as far as themes, Ghost has been more normal of a theme, and pre-series announcements have been pretty normal. So I was curious, do either of you remember what your or other folks' initial reactions to Gaim and Fruity Samurai were? Liam?
I was on board. The second
really?
I saw you guys, I remember I heard you and a bunch of other of our friends talking about it, and you said, oh, it's all about fruit samurais and shit. And I said, is there a banana guy? And they said, you or one of the other guys was like, yes. And I was like, can I get a picture? And you showed me all of them, and I was like, okay, I'm on board. I'm ready. I'm ready for Gaim. I'm going to watch it.
I was like, what is the opposite of cautiously optimistic? Cautiously pessimistic?
Hopefully pessimistic?
Blatantly pessimistic?
Blatantly pessimistic.
I wasn't blatantly, though. I was... The theme sounded so weird. I couldn't wrap my head around it. And some people I knew who had been watching Kamen Rider as long as I have, like, dropped the series.
I know,
completely.
Yeah, I know one guy who said he watched, like, one episode and just never watched it because he thought the fruits thing was dumb.
Yeah, and, like, some people I know never came back. Like, they didn't come back for Drive, and they're not back for Ghosts.
Oh,
they're
my God.
They washed their hands.
That's so terrible, because Gaim turned out great.
Yeah. So, once I started watching it, especially with the introduction of Coda, who had not become a wishy-washy character yet.
Not yet.
He was very much a Shinji type.
Yeah.
In that he was goofy as all hell, and he did things that no other writer had done. Normal things that normal people would do, like trying to use their superhero powers to, like, further their own career.
Yeah, I love when he's trying to use the orange Loxie at his job, and he just keeps fucking everything up because he's too bulky or strong. Or it's a very funny scene. It's not the kind of thing you see often in Kamen Rider either.
No. And seeing him, like, slowly learn how to use his powers was awesome.
Absolutely.
So I was on board after that. But up until that point, I was really hesitant to get into the idea of the series. It seemed so far-fetched, so different, and so weird. In the end, it turned out good.
Yeah, I'm glad.
But like I said, a lot of people just refuse to watch Gaim to this day, and a couple people I know haven't watched Kamen Rider since.
That's fucked up. I feel bad.
I will say that the people that haven't watched it since weren't that into it to begin with.
I guess.
They had just watched Double O's and Forze and Wizard, and then just called it a day.
Wait, Gaim drove them off, but Wizard didn't drive them off?
There's no accounting for this.
So if you're one of those people who's never seen Gaim and you don't want to see Gaim because of the theme, it's worth every second, trust me.
Yeah, I agree. There are points where you might get a little frustrated with the series, but it's worth it to get through.
It's really... Yeah.
It's a really good series.
Yeah, it's a very good series. It's totally worth a watch.
So I hope that answers your question, Matt.
Yes.
We don't really know enough people to be talking about the fandom as a whole, but it seemed like that was sort of the consensus.
We know, like, 5 or 6 people. That's most Kamen Rider fans, I believe, in America. It's like 6 out of 10.
God, what a sad fandom we are. I love all you guys, though.
I love you, too.
Okay, we got an email from George.
Oh, boy.
George says, "Dear friend, I am Barrister George from Togo in West Africa. I have a business proposal of $10 million in the codicil and last testament of a deceased who happens to be my client. He also bears the same last name with you and is from your country.
His name is something Soji?
Something about this doesn't seem right."
No, that's fucking great. Did he say $10,000?
$10 million?
$10 million? That's like $1 billion Canadian.
Fuck this podcast, dude. We're gonna be rich.
Oh, thank God. Someone finally heard of Rider Club Radio. And they must have... Somebody in the radio family must have died recently.
I want to present you to his bank as his or her next of kin. You just said his.
Whatever.
This seems fishy.
No, this is totally legit.
$10 million to your account, and I will come over to your country for my own share.
So does this person have a question about Kamen Rider, or did they just want to give us a bunch of money?
Well, I think we just won $10 million, so thanks for tuning in, everybody. Yeah.
We're going to go retire to the Bahamas or something.
Gonna
this, I guess, is going to be the last episode.
Gonna live off the vast radio family fortune.
Okay. Okay, let's move on.
Alright. We got an email from Ice Tyrant. And Ooh. He says, yo, thanks for the great podcast. It helped me to get through many days at work. Hey, you're welcome, man.
Yeah, it helps me too.
I can't believe people listen to us at work. For some reason, that seems stranger to me than people from other countries listening to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, well. Don't get caught.
I had two questions. I was curious to know what you guys plan to do if Ghost ends up sucking ass. Will you continue weekly updates while torturing yourselves, or will the podcast go in a different direction?
If Ghost ends up sucking ass, I'm probably going to jump onto some train tracks or something. Or
we will commit ritual suicide together.
On air. We'll upload it afterwards, too.
On air.
Yeah.
How will we upload it afterwards?
I'll just use one of the icons.
I see what you did there. I understand.
Yeah.
We're going to keep doing Ghost, even if it's bad. You'll get to tune in and hear us bitch every single week.
Yeah, it might be funnier that way, too. I think it's easier to joke about a shitty series than about a good one.
So if it turns out bad, our show will get better.
Great.
If it turns out good, it'll get even worse somehow.
Somehow, yeah.
I don't know how it could possibly be any worse, but we'll see.
Don't worry, the podcast is not going to be over.
No, we made a lot of jokes about ending the show when Drive ended, and people really believed us.
Some people.
So I'm sorry about misleading you, but we're going to continue doing this as long as we find it fun.
Yeah.
Also, what is your favorite arc in any Kamen Rider series? Personally, for me, I think it would be the ending to O's series, which you plebs haven't even seen yet.
Did he say that? Or is your...
Yeah, he actually said that.
Oh god, he's onto us.
We just got owned.
Yeah.
On air.
Holy shit.
Edit that out. Make it seem like we owned him.
Yeah, okay. I'll come up with some sick insults tomorrow night.
What's your favorite arc?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt, the one where Kuga goes to visit his old school teacher.
Oh yeah, man, that is so good.
That little arc, that's the closest I think I've ever come to weeping while watching Kamen Rider.
That is such a good
story. It was, like, there was a monster, but who cares about the monster? Like, there was actual drama going on in the main plot of the show that I gave a shit about. There were personal character stakes with the teacher threatening to step out of education if Kuga failed to inspire him. And there was it was full of great little setups and payoffs. You learned a little bit about Kuga's past.
Learned about what it means to be a teacher?
Yeah, you learn what it means to be a teacher and what it means to be a hero all at the same time. It's such a perfectly little wrapped up in a bow arc. It's everything that an arc in Kamen Rider should be. Every series should have one arc like that, I think.
And I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
It's perfect. What about you, Jeff?
If I can't choose that one, because now that you've brought that up, that is absolutely one of the best arcs ever.
Well, I snatched it up. You gotta pick a different
one. If I had to pick a different one, it would be the arc where Kagami becomes Gatak.
Oh, yeah.
That is a spectacular story. Like, you get to see Kagami pushed to his limits, and you get to see who he truly is as a person. It's when we start getting everybody constantly saying, like, he's so hot-blooded, he'll just force his way through any problem. And you get to see that happen directly, and he gets rewarded for it. For the first time in the series, he is not shat upon for his heroism.
You get to see him move forward a little bit as a character, which is very, very, very satisfying, considering...
You've been watching this character sort of flounder around and get fucked over for a whole series. So seeing him finally grasp what he's wanted since the first episode is exceptionally satisfying.
At long last, the main writer has his belt, and it's great.
What a build-up, man. Talk about spreading out something over the series.
Because, like, everybody talks about this. Kagami is really pretty much the main character of Kabuto. Like, he's the one you relate with.
He's the one the series follows. Like, the camera doesn't follow Tendo around all that much. It does some
he's
episodes.
The anchor. Yeah. Because Tendo's a weirdo, and having him as the actual main character, there'd be a lot of audience disconnect, I think.
Yeah, you have Whereas to connect Kagami... with a character and relate to them, and Tendo is unrelatable.
Yeah, because he's perfect. He's perfect except for he's an asshole.
Ice Tyrant also says, "Hey, Liam, since Toei decided to make Kamen Rider Ghost at your behest, could you also ask them to make us a good Kamen Rider game, too?"
Last week, I actually went down there. I went down to John Toei's apartment, and we were
having... He lives in an apartment? Jesus.
Yeah, he lives way below his means, and we were having coffee together, and I said, "John Toei, can you make a good Kamen Rider game? Would that be within your means?" And he pulled the front of my pants and dumped hot coffee into my boxers.
Oh my god.
So I think that might have been, like, Japanese code language for no, like, not happening anytime soon. So don't get your hopes up.
You mentioned it. You mentioned it, and the room got dead fucking quiet. And then he stood up and said, "Get out of my house." And you went, "What, John Toei?" You said, "Get out of my fucking house! Don't you ever step foot in here again!"
Fucking trashing the room like Charles Foster Kane, just throwing shit down. Oh, it was traumatizing. So no. And I wouldn't suggest asking him about it. He gets very touchy.
There's no such thing as a perfect world. In the perfect world, we would get the perfect Kamen Rider game. We would get a great series that's everything we want in Rider, and it would come out with every new character that we wanted, and it wouldn't just be a clone of another series.
Yeah, we got, like, there's a pretty decent, like, fanservice-y fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
That's Super Climax Heroes for the Wii and PSP. Mm-hmm. If you played those, they're pretty good. They're very shallow, but they're pretty fun. There's a lot of little fan service moments that you like.
I think that's what we all really want, though, is something that's not shallow. Something that has a little bit of depth to it.
Yeah, like something you could get good at. Like something that's a high skill ceiling, like Street Fighter or something. Like, I don't know. It'd be nice. It's never going to happen, but it'd be really nice.
Mm.
If only... It's a really hard medium to hit, because it's Kamen Rider, you got to appeal to kids. But you can... I think it's possible to make a game that... A fighting game that has a very, like, easy-to-learn, very hard-to-master thing.
Yeah.
I think Smash Bros. Melee is, like, the perfect example of that, where, like, anybody could pick up Melee and start playing.
Hold up there,
Liam. There is so much, like, levels. What?
Hold up there.
What?
Are you saying Smash Brothers is a fighting game?
Oh, I've committed the cardinal sin.
You have stepped over a line that you can no longer step back from, sir.
Let me get my whip so I can hit myself on the back 100 times. Let me have my Cat-O-Nine-Tails so I can tear myself to ribbons. Yes, Melee is a fighting game.
I'll agree with that. If fucking Clay Fighter is a fighting game...
Yeah, anything can be a fighting game.
What's the skill ceiling on Clay Fighter? The
skill ceiling is like somewhere in the cellar. In the sub-basement.
I like Clay Fighter. It's a terrible series, but I like it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Is that all of our emails?
No.
Oh.
We have an email. I hope you don't mind me using your last name. Hopefully no one will come to find you. Thunder Noodle Claw asks, "Hey there, Jeff and Liam. Been listening since the Kabuto spoiler cast, and finally remembered to send a relevant email.
Ugh.
Thanks for joining the party."
What was that name? Thunderclaw?
Thunder Noodle Claw.
Thunder Noodle Claw. Holy shit. Ugh. Dude, I gotta find that guy's LinkedIn.
Your parents are the coolest.
Yeah.
Since Kamen Rider Ghost is bound to have Rider-inspired icons, and you've talked about it on the podcast, what type of Rider-inspired hoodies would you like to see in-show or sold on the Bandai website? Personally, I'm hoping for something for Double, Kabuto, or more obviously, Kamen Rider 1, since I'm sure they'd look pretty well-designed. Keep on doing what you're doing. What would you want, Liam?
Well, Ryuki is my obvious pick. I think Kabuto would also look nice. Like, instead of the top knot, you could have the little horns coming up.
Yeah.
I think for sure...
You're talking about in the show.
In the show, yes.
Okay.
I think for sure we're going to see Drive. I don't think we're going to see anybody else, unfortunately. Maybe Rider 1 for the big superhero wars.
If we're going to get anybody, it's going to be Rider 1. And it's going to look awful.
It's going to look terrible. If it's anything like Rider 1 arms from Heisei versus Showa, it's going to look like a nightmare come real.
Oh, man.
Which I guess is proper, because he's a ghost. He should be scary.
Nothing will be more frightening than that. I cringe at the thought of what that's going to look like. And I hope if I get as overdramatic as possible about how bad it's going to be, that they'll make it really good just to fucking spite me.
I want it to be really bad just to see what your reaction's going to be now. I'll wait around for that shit.
Please be excited.
Which one would you buy in stores if they had, like, a store? Which one would you want to buy and where?
See, I wouldn't buy anything that's, like, really gaudy.
Well, yeah.
If anything you're gonna... that's, like, really over the top, like, a double hoodie would be split down the center, and I don't think I could pull that off.
Yeah, if you're gonna buy merch from Kamen Rider or, like, a game or something, it's gotta be subtle. It's gotta still be, like, somewhat... I hesitate to use the term fashionable if you're wearing a video game shirt, but, like...
yeah. Like, here's my dream design.
Okay.
For... I would want a Kamen Rider 1 hoodie. And it would have the two stripes down the sleeves. It would have, like, the open lapel thing that Ghost has. But it would be, like, the chest piece, but it would just be small, like it's the lapel piece. And the hood would have two lines going from the top to the back that are the antenna. It's just lines made into it.
Have you ever seen, there was an image that was floating around a few, I think it was made a few years ago, of a whole, like, mock-ups of hoodies for every main rider?
No.
Oh man, there were a bunch of hoodies for every main rider, and some of them.
Yeah,
were
you
really
gotta
cool.
Find this now.
Yeah,
and put it in the.
I gotta find it. I have it, I think, on my computer. But there's like a bunch of little fan mock-ups of what a cool hoodie would look like for every rider. Some of them weren't so great, but the Rider One hoodie looked really cool. Where it was just like that teal hoodie, like that teal color in the body, and then black arms, and then the stripes on the arms, just like you said, and then a little 01 in like a varsity sort of print in the top left. It was totally subtle, but you could tell. Mm-hmm. Like you could immediately see that it was Kamen Rider. But if you didn't know what Kamen Rider
man,
was, it would be 100%.
Cool.
You would never. Totally subtle. I love it.
Yeah, I actually wear like a Kamen Rider 1 cosplay out all the time.
What do you mean? Like the full helmet
it
and
is,
everything.
It is a black Adidas track jacket that has two white stripes down the sleeves. That's it. I wore it before I found out about Kamen Rider, even, but I wear it far more now.
I would like, you know what, I would buy a nice hoodie that was like a gray body, red sleeves, and with a little Ryuki, like, you know, Ryuki's little dragon head symbol that's on his belt.
Yeah.
Get that just up in the, like, the breast of it, the top left part. I would totally wear that out.
I would totally make fun of you.
Oh.
No, I am all about wearing merchandise from stuff you like. You should wear merchandise that looks good, though. Like, some merchandise for stuff is fucking hideous.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like a big face on the shirt, or like a big logo that's all tacky. It looks emblazoned across the chest.
Yeah, I guess I kind of wear t-shirts that just have the chest logo, the small chest logo.
Something
I don't wear anything that has a giant logo or has like a whole front.
Yeah.
Fashion cast.
Welcome to the fashion cast. Says the
Welcome
guy.
Welcome to the fashionless cast.
Maybe I shouldn't say anything about that because I do have a Kamen Rider Stronger shirt that is the big S that he has on his.
Oh my god! No, I actually have a Kamen Rider the first movie shirt. It has like a silhouette on the left breast of Kamen Rider the first jumping on his motorcycle.
Yeah,
and it has like the Japanese logo on the other side.
That's pretty cool. As long as it's subtle. As long as someone who doesn't watch Kamen Rider would never know.
Somebody would look at it and be like, that guy's a big fucking weeboo.
Well, that's fine. That's par for the course. They look at me no matter what I'm wearing and think that shit, so...
Maybe if you didn't wear a fucking kimono everywhere.
Look, it's part of the traditional Japanese fat. I'm just preparing for when I move to Tokyo, okay? Everybody's gonna be walking around wearing those kimonos.
You've been practicing with your samurai sword?
Yeah, I practice with my kendo every day. I use my bokuto.
God. Rider Club Radio is on top of the hottest, newest memes all over the internet.
Is that a meme?
I think so.
Is
anything that's
weeb?
Ever been on the internet is a meme now.
I guess so. All right. Oh, we should probably talk about this. You mentioned Kamen Rider the First just now.
As a matter of fact, I did, sir.
Well, isn't something happening soon?
If you follow our Twitter, you know already, but we've set up a sync tube, and we've already streamed... we streamed Megamax, the crossover movie.
Yes.
And we also streamed Kamen Rider World.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also kind of a crossover movie.
That weird roller coaster ride that is
World. Yeah, we streamed that 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And this Saturday, October 10th, at 8 o'clock at rSync2...
8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, that is.
8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, that is. We will be streaming Kamen Rider the First in its entirety with all of you guys.
So come on down. We'll have the link in the blog post. We'll all get together. We'll have a real good time.
We'll put that link in the YouTube as well, since we got a lot of YouTube fans.
Yeah, buy yourself a bag of M&Ms and whatever. And come on.
M&M's brand candy. Delicious. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands.
Yeah, I can expect that check coming in a few days.
Can't wait to get that $25. But yeah, stop by, watch Kamen Rider the First with us. We're far less amusing in person than we are on this podcast, but hopefully you'll overlook that.
The illusion will be shattered. Just try to look away when it's happening.
We actually, during the first sync-tube we tested out, I didn't really expect anybody to show up. I just threw up the sync-tube and just in case, and we had like 10 or 15 people there.
With absolutely no warning, just throwing up the link out of nowhere, a couple people showed up, and it was pretty fun. We had
like
a grand old
people.
Time. Yeah.
We had like 10 people show up.
Yeah.
So, if you're thinking you're going to show up and be alone in a weird room with two fucking weirdos, it won't happen.
There will be
promise.
At least 10 people there, so prepare
there
yourself.
There will be at least 3 people there. So, stop on by. It'll be a good time. Also, I want to remind everybody, Kamen Rider J-Day...
All this.
Will be happening on April 16th of 2016.
Is this
going to
be every week?
No, I'm going to go every other week.
Okay.
And I'm mostly mentioning it so I remember it.
Just write it down somewhere.
I've got it in my phone. It's okay. Just, it's set to, my alarm for it is set to go off like a day beforehand.
Yeah, so you can get that tree ready.
Yeah, I got to go scramble out and buy a fucking tree.
Oh, no.
Save the Earth, plant a tree, Kamen Rider J.
Do it.
We have a Twitter. It's at Rider Club Radio. We have a Gmail. It is RiderClubRadio@gmail.com. Send us a message, tweet, an email, whatever the fuck you kids call it these days.
Put us on your LinkedIns. Follow
Snap.
Us on your Instagrams.
Snapchat.
Snap us
Send
a
us
chat.
Send us a chat on your Snap.
Yeah.
We don't even have Snapchat, do we?
We should get one.
I called it Snapchat.
Snapchat.
How fucking old am I?
You're sleepy. You're sleepy just like me.
I am. Alright, let's call it a night.
It's time
let's
to
call
go
it a
bed.
Day.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Sleep tight.
Bye.